need and are even able to set our house in order. Well, if you knew tomorrow that you were going to die and not live, would you make amends? Would you make amends with someone that you've hurt? Someone that you've wronged? In order for you to set your house in order, would it involve that? Would it involve the work of reconciliation? Seems to be very easy for us to hold grudges, very easy for us to allow conflict to go unresolved. Maybe in our minds we think, well, one day we'll make things right. But days and weeks and years and the time never seems to come. Would you make amends? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins to drop thunderbolts of truth upon people who are gathered there at a hillside in Galilee. The Sermon on the Mount, it's earth-shattering. It is the gospel of the kingdom. There is nothing, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, there is nothing contained in the Sermon on the Mount that comes naturally. The character that Jesus describes of those who are citizens of His kingdom do not come naturally. They don't come because you've been coming to church since you were a baby. They don't come just because, well, I've lived and I'm old, so it's just a natural progression. It comes through painstaking work and dedication. There's nothing easy about anything Jesus taught. In chapter 5 and verse 21, He says, "Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time." Now Jesus does this repetition through the rest of the chapter, introducing each point with that phrase, "You've heard it said of old time." He's not explaining the law of Moses. He would quote bits and pieces of the law of Moses, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the way in which the law of Moses was used by the leaders, how it was interpreted, how it was corrupted. He's quoting the traditions of the elders. Anytime Jesus talked about the Scriptures, He would either cite the Scripture, cite the writer, or just say, "The Scripture said." He doesn't do that here. It's the only place in His recorded teaching where He uses this phrase. And it's incredible to see the way in which the leaders of the people for generations had corrupted God's law. Jesus corrects the corruptions, but takes people beyond the old law and brings them into the kingdom with what He commands. He says, "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." See, the people there, they had this misconception that as long as your actions didn't involve the law, if you didn't get in trouble with the law, then you were justified before God. So you could do whatever you did, just don't get in trouble with the law. Morality had nothing to do with that, and that attitude is very common today. People will say things like, "Well, it may not be moral, but it's not illegal. So what's the big deal?" Well, Jesus here, He says that no, hate is murder. Hate is murder. Murder comes from hate. Murder is the end result of what is in the heart, and Jesus is concerned with transforming the heart. So does what Jesus say here, does it mean, well, you can call someone just anything you want short of a fool? Don't call them a fool. Reka? Well, we don't know what Reka means. You know, it's in Aramaic. We don't worry about that. What is he getting at? A fool is a senseless one. The word reka means worthless. And Jesus is saying here that if you treat someone as senseless, if you view someone and treat someone as worth less than you, you're in danger of hellfire. And oh, how we can treat people as senseless and worthless with our words and actions. It is incredible, the propensity that is within us. I mean, it is embarrassing to think of what I have done. Have you ever hurt someone with your words? Boy, the way we will talk to those that we love the most is just incredible. So what do? If this is the high standard, that I'm not to treat people as senseless and worthless, What am I to do if I have? Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hast aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Jesus calls us to do what we most intensely seek to avoid. Don't we most intensely seek to avoid dealing with our victim? Think of all of the things that we might do to avoid dealing with the ones we've hurt. Jesus indicates, well, maybe some people's approach to this would be more worship. That somehow worship will account for our moral failings. They will not. Some will commit their lives to doing more good. Jesus would later address people who sought to just do good as a way to get to the kingdom. What Jesus requires is that we do His will, and Matthew 5, verses 21 through 26 is part of His will. If you knew that you would die and not live, would you make amends? Well, lastly, if you went to set your house in order, would you obey the gospel? There are some who need to obey the gospel. There are many in the world who need to obey the gospel. Perhaps there are some in this audience this morning who need to obey the gospel, but haven't. It is incredible to me